Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our Old Testament reading over these last few weeks, we have been reading through the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And the prophet Jeremiah lived back about 600 years before the Common Era, so about 2600 years ago, in a very tumultuous time in the land of Judah and Israel. Those two communities, both monarchies, were under attack from the Babylonians and the Assyrians. And around this time, the time of this letter that Jeremiah writes to the exiled people, the Babylonians had taken captive Jerusalem, as well as the northern kingdom of Judah. So Jeremiah elected to stay behind with the remnant people that stayed in the city of Jerusalem. The Babylonians carried off all those that could make work, who were good for work, who could take their possessions with them. Those that had investments, I guess, took them up to the Babylonian kingdom and basically enslaved them. But as I said, Jeremiah stayed behind. But he was ever mindful of those that had been taken away in slavery. And he was most concerned because he was very much a believer in the Mosaic tradition, the tradition of, or the theology around that God had led the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt and had led them through the deserts and brought them to the promised land. He very much believed that the people of Judah who had been carried away and the people of Jerusalem would one day be restored and brought home. But he didn't know when that was going to be. So if you put yourselves in the position of those that have been taken away in slavery or enslaved where they went, you can imagine how terrifying it must have been. Losing all of your possessions, having to move north into a new kingdom. I think there's a lot of great parallels with the refugees that are coming up from the south who are fleeing violence and fleeing poverty and coming to our southern border. This letter that Jeremiah writes to the elders of those in exile sort of changes his views. It conveys a different sort of Jeremiah, a Jeremiah that's filled with hope about the future rather than judgment about what God's going to do to those that have disobeyed him. So in the letter we hear Jeremiah say to them or encourage them to settle down into the land, to build houses and to plant fields and to eat the produce, to let your daughters be married and your sons be married to those where you are. Those that had been taken away were very much expecting to be liberated in a very short period of time, but they weren't. It took about 50 years before they eventually, Cyrus, overtook the Babylonian kingdom and allowed them to return to Jerusalem. So in seeking Jeremiah, encouraging them to settle down and to integrate essentially into the lands where they had been enslaved, was a way of helping them to overcome the fear of being of what they've experienced and the fear of turning inward as a community that resisted integration. He was encouraging them very much to become sort of mutually integrated with the community. And he says, because out of the welfare of the city, if the city is working well and is not sort of segregated, I guess, the people's lives will be much better. And so he encourages them to pray for the city, because if the city's good, then they will benefit from that. Mutuality and caring for each other and finding that God will eventually look after you, so seeing hope even in the midst of significant despair. 10 days ago, I went to a conference that was based out of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church in Tucson, Arizona. And one of the days for our conference was to go down south to a town called Nogales, which is a town that it's the only town on the southern border that is split in half by the US-Mexico border. There's an Episcopal church there called St. Andrew's, and they have been doing wonderful ministry. And so we were able to both listen to the ministry that they were doing there, And we heard from the Bishop of West Mexico about the impact of the refugees that are coming up from the south. And we also got to go to the border wall and to see the impact of this massive fence that has been constructed right through the middle of this town. Progressively over the years, the barrier has become more and more closed in. It wasn't a few years ago that it was a steel picket fence about 30 feet tall. But a few years ago, the communities on both sides could pass things through the slats in the fence. They could have communion on one side, which often the churches did, and provide communion for those that were on the other side. But lately, on the US side, mesh has been welded to the fence. Razor wire has been put up about 10 feet up, about 20 feet up, and right on the top, all the way along this wall, which goes for miles. And then another sort of vehicle crash rail has been built in front of it. And it's quite extraordinary just seeing them. This was the side that I felt like very much that we were hemmed in. On the other side, life was just going on as normal. The work that St. Andrew's was doing is certainly worth focusing on. They've been running a children's clinic for poor children in Mexico who once a month come over the border to get specialised medical treatment. And there's 30 or 40 kids come with their parents. They get day visas, come through the border and spend a day at St. Andrew's where they are cared for by specialists who come down from Minneapolis, from some of the major teaching hospitals, from therapists, physical therapists, optometrists, dentists, all to help these kids who get treatment for free from infancy through to their 18. And all this happens within the sanctuary of the church. It is truly a marvellous ministry of St. Andrew's. And the other ministry that they are engaged in is that they bought some houses in Mexico, in the southern Nogales part of the Nogales in the south, as they call it, to house those refugee families who were coming up and had no housing. It's very important that those coming up are waiting for their interviews, wait sometimes up to 2 years. And just to be sleeping rough with a family is pretty hard. So they bought these houses and allowed these families to find refuge and to take shelter. And then they ministered to them, to their needs, by crossing the border backwards and forwards. And to me, it was a great example for us as Christians to understand that nothing in God's power, nothing that we do in the name of Jesus Christ can be restricted by man-made barriers or by fear. Here's this barrier that's over the years become more and more difficult to get through. Yet the ministry to these young kids, to their families, and to those that are fleeing persecution in the south continues day in and day out. It's a wonderful example that we have of crossing borders and caring for those most in need. In the gospel reading this morning, we have a great example of Jesus' ministry to those who were outcast. The 10 lepers were very much outcast from their community. They knew that they were outcasts and they even wouldn't come close to Jesus because they knew that they were essentially the untouchables. And Jesus really just speaks a word to them. Go back to your priests and tell them you are clean. And as they go, they are made clean. We can imagine that probably 9 of them are of the Jewish faith because to be clean, to be ritually clean, was the only way you were allowed into the temple to worship. So to go back and to be ritually cleansed and to go to tell the priest meant that you were accepted back into the community. But for the Samaritan, that was sort of twice ostracised, if you like. A foreigner, as we hear in Jesus' words. And it's this foreigner that has a different reaction to the other 9. This foreigner realises that something special has happened, that they have been blessed with healing, but also have chosen to focus on the healer, Jesus, who allowed him to be healed, and falls prostrate at his feet in thanksgiving for a new life that he is going to be able to have, free of leprosy, and at least one of those things that keeps him outside of the mainstream has been taken away. So we too can cross boundaries and borders and not be fearful of anything that stands in the way of our ministry of those grace-filled words of Jesus. Go, you have been healed. It's what we hear about. It's our ministry to the community and to each other to help cross those boundaries and to help us all to be healed and all to be reconciled to the love and to the mercy and to the grace that Jesus gives us. Amen.